just one question, Judge. In fact, before you took that break, Mr. Mann had admitted that he was the cause of Sinema's death.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Peterson.
Nothing.
All right, thank you. Detective, finish that. Let me make a record relative to the testimony of Detective Sutera. At this point, this is not part of the trial. It's certainly part of the court record because it's been done in open court. But I want to make it clear that it is not part of the trial itself and may not be part. And so I want that to be clear. That's understood, Mr. Parrish and Mr. Peterson.
Oh, we're absolutely well aware of that, which is one of the reasons we closed the courtroom today.
But I want to make that record for the purpose of the court record.
No, I appreciate what you're doing.
And I'm also just perplexed a little bit about the nature of the examination of Detective Sutera, and the time may come when I will ask further about what part of this, if any, would be used for a rebuttal case, because it seems to me you've gone over territory that you went over previously more thoroughly today, as I recall, than at the suppression hearing. But this isn't a suppression issue. This is a rebuttal case issue, and I'm not quite sure the relevance of some of those questions.
And I could certainly at least make a proffer as to that. Because the defense still has the ability, despite how the judge, how the court rules about the pending motion, to argue to the jury the voluntariness issue. So that's why in rebuttal, and it will only come out in rebuttal if the defendant chooses to testify. We're having to kind of guess what he will say. But those issues are the issues that we assume we would want to question about. If there's no inconsistency, and I'm not sure quite how that would happen, but if there's no inconsistency between his testimony and what he said previously in this interview, then we probably don't get to go into that either, if the court rules we get to use it at all, ultimately. So that's the kind of strange waters that we're steering here, trying to anticipate something that may or may not even occur in the first place. But if it does, we'll have an unavailable witness. And we wanted to cover both the voluntariness issue and the key points that I expect will be inconsistent if the defendant testifies.
As usual, Mr. Parrish's analysis is spot on. That's exactly why the nature of this testimony today is as it is, because there is a twofold aspect to it. It obviously goes to the further argument on the suppression hearing, but if the court rules against our objection and our motion that Mr. Metz's police interview can be used, assuming that he ever elected to take the stand, which we don't know at this point. Still, the issue is moot at this point, Judge. If those were the circumstances and the facts, then we still get to argue to the jury that there was not an adequate interview, there was not a voluntary statement, and that other factors should be considered by the jury in disregarding what Mr. Metz said to law enforcement. So I appreciate the court is struggling with the nature and parameters of where we went today, but it's for those reasons that we went there. And it may be true, Judge, that there may be some segments that should be excised appropriately at the time of trial. We can inquire into that at a time that the state attempts or would use this in lieu of the officer's live testimony.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. I'm still perplexed, but I'm a little less so. And relative to that motion that you've requested further time to brief, are you intending to give us a little time?
Yes, Judge.
We're still
sort of on the cusp of that issue, given ongoing discussions between Mr. Met and counsel about the ultimate decision. So what I would propose is that perhaps you give me until Monday morning to know that. I mean, the problem is we won't know fully until the close of the state's evidence what election Mr. Met had made.
But the legal briefing, issue is a different issue.
With regard to the briefing, all I'm asking for is until Monday morning to get a very brief supplement to the court.
The state will finish its case on Tuesday, so it doesn't give me a lot of time.
I mean, you've basically been briefed by the two memoranda. I just wanted to add an extra layer of consideration and analysis that slightly broadens Mr. Parrish's analysis.
All right. I mean, it's important that I have enough time. I'm not prepared to rule on this until you do the briefing that you've promised. So I want to give you that benefit.
Well, in that regard, Judge, we do have a large cushion. If the state finished by Tuesday, in theory, maybe we could look at some of this, if need be, on a Wednesday morning. Our case, if there's any to be put on, is going to be very short. One to two witnesses in all likelihood.
Okay.
And so...
Given the fact that we have moved Chad Grundy's testimony, it will be very lengthy. I think we're probably looking at ending on Wednesday.
And that gives us some flexibility. We may be able to get the jury out Thursday or Friday.
Right.
And we can give them short days. I realize we've got a cushion of time, which I often don't have in trials, so I'm not pushing as I often do. Notwithstanding that, I'm very concerned about the jurors' welfare, and I don't want to bring them in for an hour and send them home, that kind of thing. So that's my major concern at this point, that we recognize their needs to be able to hear the case. In an ongoing manner without a box. So far, it's gone very well, and I have to thank again counsel for both parties for the work you've done thus far in the case. So we'll take a recess and come back after 10 o'clock.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.